Let's turn our Bibles, if you would, tonight to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And tonight we're going to note in verse 8 the subject of the obedience of faith. The obedience of faith. We've noted several things here with respect to faith. And again, this chapter deals with, I believe, primarily with not saving faith, but the faith that we are to have after that God saved us.
Amen.
And that is living faith. You can look in Hebrews where Paul quoted from the Old Testament. He said, "Now the just shall live by faith." Amen. And we find here that we come now in all that we've studied. We look here in verse 8 and it says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went." You know, we sing a hymn entitled, "Trust and Obey." And it goes, as I'm sure you're familiar, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." And that is extremely important and biblical for every child of God to understand those words. Now I want to look here tonight in our text of verse 8. Three key words or phrases to this verse with the subject of the obedience of faith. And I want to observe them tonight. First of all, we will note that this was done by faith. By faith. The second thing we will note is the key word of called. And then the third key word we will note is obeyed. So by faith, called, and obeyed. Now again, we turn, if you would, over to Genesis chapter 12. The reference here of which the writer makes, being led of the Spirit of God, is here in Genesis chapter 12. And this ought to be familiar to us. Brother Dodson went over these verses on Sunday morning when he preached. And it wasn't terribly long before that when our very first message on the subject of the land of Canaan, when we had gone over these verses. And we find here how that God had spoken and called Abram when he was in Mesopotamia, in the land of Ur of Chaldees. You'll find that in chapter 11. And you find how Stephen spoke of that in Acts chapter 7. And God called him. And the Bible tells us here in these verses, in verse 1 of Genesis 12, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Then in Genesis 12 and verse 4, we find this: "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him." So what we have here is a reference back unto these verses. And the Bible tells us and it teaches us, and again, we'll refer unto that later in the lesson as well. But I want to note first of all this evening, by faith. By faith. Now again, we find here that the word faith, it's the same word throughout this chapter 11. And that is, the meaning of it is a firm persuasion. As we find as well, a conviction based upon hearing. That's what faith is. I mean, God didn't show Abram a vision. He didn't transfer him from the land of Mesopotamia, or the land of Ur of Chaldees, or from the land of Haran, and take him on and show him, you know, in the future, how that, "Listen, I'm going to show you this land." There was none of that. God spoke unto him, and he firmly believed him.
That's right.
that God would do it.
Amen.
Look, if you would, in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And perhaps this is one of the issues of our day, why there is such a lack of faith, is because there is a lack of hearing the Word of God. You know, Amos said that there would be a day when there would be a famine of hearing the Word of God. And I think one of the reasons that we've got a lack of hearing is, and understand this, there's a lack of hearing, and because there's a lack of hearing, the Bible tells us that there are going to be those who are going to seek for them to preach things that aren't the Word of God. They don't want to hear it. It's not the preaching didn't come first. It was the lack of hearing that produced the false preaching that there is today.
Amen.
They wanted someone to come and tickle their ears. And Satan was happy to oblige. The world is happy to oblige. In Romans 10 and verse 17 it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Faith comes this way, and this is the only way it comes.
Amen.
Not with stories, not with man's plans and programs and concerts and shows and all the things that go on, but by hearing the Word of God.
Amen.
And that's true for lost sinners, and it's true for saved sinners. That faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why after God saves an individual, they need to submit to scriptural baptism, become members of the Lord's church, and sit under the preaching of Thus Saith the Lord. So that their faith will grow. The Bible teaches us that faith is a firm persuasion. And the more one hears the Word of God, and I want you to understand this, the more you know, we are firmly persuaded of it.
That's right.
And those of you who've sat under sound preaching for years, the more you're firmly persuaded of it. And God will sometimes give you a firm persuasion the first time you ever hear something. Because the Spirit of God does His work. But it always is in conjunction with the hearing and the hearing of the Word of God. You cannot do away with this. Now, again, Abraham, it says by faith. He had a conviction based upon what he heard. And we read in Genesis chapter 12 what he heard. God said, "I want you to be separated from your kinfolk. I want you to get out of your land. And I want you to go to a place that I'm going to show you. And I am going to bless you. And I'm going to curse those who curse you. And you are going, and all the families of the earth will be blessed in you." That's an amazing thing, isn't it? He didn't show them one thing. He didn't have a vision of the future. He didn't have a dream of the future. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 12 and in verse 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram." The Lord had said unto Abram. Now look, if you would, in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. And I want you to see that there is a distinguishment between hearing and something else. Now we know that this is all there is the Word of God. That's all there is. But I want you to understand in Genesis 15 and verse 1, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision." See how the Scriptures specifically designates that in chapter 15, the word of the Lord came to God, to Abraham in a vision. Now I want you to understand this. It may have been the medium of a vision, but it was still the word of the Lord. In chapter 12, all we have is God said. And that's all we really need. Abraham had a conviction based upon what God had said. And there's no reason that you and I ought not to have the same persuasion. And it doesn't matter what the subject is. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's about salvation, if it's about the Lord's church, what it is, who it isn't, so on and so forth. It doesn't matter if it's about how we're supposed to live our lives. I mean, you think and you look there, as we just read in Leviticus not long ago in our daily reading, about how that God dictated to His people what they would and what they could not eat. He was sovereign and Lord over every aspect of their lives. And so by faith, you know, sometimes we might read a scripture and we might say, well, boy, I get that. Oh, I believe that. And then we might read another one and say, I'm not so sure about that. It's the same Lord. It's the same Lord. And again, remember that we said understanding does not lead to faith. Faith leads to understanding. That's the Bible order. So many folks want to, well, I don't understand it. I can't believe it. That's not the way the Scriptures are. We believe God because it came out of His mouth. And the understanding will come in God's time. Notice, if you went over to Romans chapter 4. Again, Abraham was fully persuaded. What was he persuaded of? You know, some folks get persuaded too much about the promise. And what we're really persuaded about is the God who promised it. We are persuaded that He is able and willing and shall do exactly as He said He would. That's why we've got all these things in the gospel that Christ did, showing that He is God, that He is able to do what He said He would. Notice Romans 4, and if you would, verse 20 and 21, it says, He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able also to perform. You know, a lot of folks will say, well, I know that God is able to do it. I just don't know if He will. That's not faith. It's not faith. The Bible says that those that, as the Scriptures bear out, that those that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Not just that He's able, but that He will, and He does. Such is the same for you and I today. We must, by faith, we must be firmly persuaded, we must be convicted concerning the things of God. You know, His name is still Elohim, which is the covenant-keeping one. He still keeps His word, doesn't He? Whether you and I abide faithful or not, He cannot deny Himself. And so we read in these words, and again, this is applicable to every subject in the Bible. And we ought not to wrest the Scriptures. We ought not to twist them to fit our theology and our doctrine, but simply take God at His word and be firmly persuaded of such. And that this is the way, and we're to walk therein. That's faith. I'd like you to notice, secondly, this evening, again, the obedience of faith. The second thing I'd like you to note is, as the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. When he was called to go out. Now, I want you to understand this, and I'm sure that you do. We don't make a move to God except He first makes a move to us.
Amen.
And that He calls
Amen.
Us. To do so is contrary to our nature and also would be presumptuous on our part. Except God calls us to do something, we can't do it. Because we don't know what to do. And this is true of salvation and it's true of service. I mean, you think about the priest of old. They didn't take that honor unto themselves. They were called unto that office work. Now the word calling or called means to summon. To summon. And if you've ever received a summons, I've delivered some summons. And you know, it's a very serious thing, isn't it? And I would imagine that if anyone here received a summons from the court, we would make an appearance. How much more that summons from God? Now there's a lot of calls in the Scriptures, and it would do us well to study them, although we will not do that here this evening. But God called Abraham. And I want you to look, if you would, in Joshua chapter 24. And I want you to observe that Abraham, he had to be called of God because the condition in which he was in, he would not go in and of himself. It was not his desire to do this until after God called him. And this is so concerning them that are lost as well as those who are saved when God calls them unto more service. In Joshua 24, and you'll notice verse 2, "And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods." Notice that. Abraham was not a worshiper of Jehovah all his life. He was one who worshiped idols. He was a spiritual adulterer. He had other gods. And the Bible says in verse 3 of Joshua 24, "And I took your father Abraham." And that's exactly right. He took him. And if you're saved by God's grace, it was God who took you and not the other way around. It was God who called you. And, you know, nobody goes over to their telephone and picks it up and answers it unless it first rings. And until God calls an individual, there will be no response. Because in and of ourselves, there is no desire to go unto Him.
Amen.
It is the gospel. It is Christ who is declared and preached. It is Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, who is declared. And it is by a power of the Spirit of God and His working, of which we do not know, that works on men, women, boys, and girls, and brings them unto Christ, responding to that call. Now God had summoned His creature. And God summons today the same way He did then by His Word. No wonder Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10 concerning the things that He did. And as right before we read it there, "And so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." And he talks about how that, you know, the beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. And you know, it's a tremendous thing. How shall they believe except they hear? And how shall they hear except one be sent to preach the good tidings? And God has sent His church to declare the great news that Jesus Christ has come. And by faith in Him thou shalt be saved. Amen. It is at the preaching of God's Word that the Lord does call His people. And I'd like you to notice some things about the call of God in Abram. The Lord told him what to do. He told him when to do it. He told him how to do it. He said who was to do it. He even said why they were supposed to do it. And let's take a look there in Genesis chapter 12 and let's just observe it. Some of these things here. He says here in these verses, the Lord told him what to do. Well, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. That's what he told him to do. He told him when to do it. Now. Now the Lord said unto Abram, and when God tells us to do something, unless He specifies a time, it's now. We find as well that the Scripture tells us how to do it. And that is, He said, get out. Spurgeon said the only way to do a thing is to do it. I mean, don't sit around and make plans, do it. He told who was to do it. He said unto Abram. And He said why to do it. And the why is, now the Lord. That's the why. The Lord is the why. Because the Lord told him to. Jehovah spoke unto him and said, this is what you're going to do. And we miss that so much in our lives. That we are to obey God because He said to. I am to do this because He said to. Maybe your father often told you, and you'd ask, well, how come I got to do this? Because I said so. And that's really the summarization of why we need to do what God says. You know, really, the Bible tells us, we preached on it not long ago, but God hath commanded all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because God said so. He said, believe on His Son Jesus Christ. Why? Because He said so. The Lord calls you and I today. He calls sinners unto salvation. In John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You see, there's a summons. He says, you're to believe. That's the summons, to believe. He calls us to believe on Jesus Christ. And then there's a promise to that summons, and that is, you won't perish, but you'll have everlasting life. God also has a call to service, a summons to serve. I believe everybody that God saved, they have a dual calling, a call to salvation and a call to serve it at the same time. Now there's other calls. God calls unto greater service. He calls into the ministry. And then there's a call upward and homeward. You'll notice in the Scriptures, nobody was ever called to be a deacon. They were appointed by the church. But the world's messed that up too. I want you to notice some things about the calls of God. The summonses of God. The first thing I want you to notice is they are trying. They will try your faith. We've been studying about that in James. The trial of our faith is more precious than gold. The Scriptures tell us. The Bible tells us in James chapter 1, and it tells us here that we are to count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations or diverse trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. When God called Abram, He called him to forsake his own gods that he had. He called him to forsake that which he trusted in and to only trust the Lord. You know, we like to have a little safety net sometimes with some things. That's not trust in the Lord, is it? You know, we like to say, well, if what the Lord's called me to do doesn't work out, then I can go back to this. That's not faith. He called him to forsake his family. And sometimes God calls us to do the same. And sometimes it's not a forsaking of them, but it's a leaving of them. Sometimes there's a relocation, as there was here with Abraham. Sometimes we are called to tell our family members no. He was called to forsake or to leave all that he knew. I mean, you read those verses again. It was a very trying time. This was no light thing that he had called him to do. And our summons of God is also very trying. I was told that there's a phrase that defines faith. And you take the word faith and you write it this way. F-A underneath of it, I-T-H underneath of it. And it's forsaking all, I trust Him. That's what faith is. And that's what we need to do. Another aspect of this summons of God is, and I cannot emphasize this enough, when God calls, it is of the utmost importance. Because God does not deal with things that are of not importance.
Amen.
And everything that is in this book, God, we need to treat it as a summons of God, a call of God. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, it is a summons of God. Because I'll tell you what, one day this book is going to be open as we stand and give an account at a seat of judgment. That's a summons, folks. He has called us to do this book. Look over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. It is of the utmost importance. The summons of the Lord is from the highest court, and its rejection will be dealt with in a most severe fashion. That God has summoned sinners to repent and believe the gospel. And the Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, "In flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, the gospel is God's summons to sinners to repent of their sins and have faith in Jesus Christ. It is the good news that the Savior has come and that your sins are able to be washed away in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the Bible says, if this summons is not adhered to, As the Bible states in its own language, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. God has summons, and sinners have rejected it. And there is but one way to handle that, and that is, as the Bible says, shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. That is it. Let us be clear how indebted we who have responded to it in faith believing, how indebted we are unto God's grace. Amen. Who wrought that faith within us. Maybe you sat next to some of your brothers or sisters or kinfolk or friends growing up and you heard the same gospel preaching they did and they didn't respond. Or maybe none of you heard it and somewhere along the line you heard the gospel and they didn't. Or maybe you all heard it and God saw fit to save all of you. Rest assured, it was all of grace. It is of extreme and utmost importance to adhere to the call of God. Notice, if you would, in Genesis chapter 12. And I want you to notice here again. By faith, Abraham, when he was called of God. Now, isn't it an amazing thing how that when you and I are called by some other folks, we obey. But when God calls us, while we're not as, you know, sort of hop to it as we ought to be. Notice here in Genesis 12, in verse 1, it says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Notice verse 4, So Abram departed, now note, as the Lord had spoken unto him. You see, we must respond exactly as the Lord calls because it is of utmost importance. And you and I who've been saved by God's grace have been called out of sin as well as to leave sin's company. We've been called away from any and all things that would keep us from being wholly and solely devoted unto the Lord. A call to service, that is, it disobeyed, will also be dealt with by the Lord. Then I'd like you to notice, thirdly, tonight, that we are to obey. The Bible says that by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Obeyed. Now let's observe some of his obedience. And I want you to notice this is the order of events. God called him. Abraham believed what God said. Then he obeyed God. Now there's another biblical order. God calls. We don't believe, and we disobey. Now, the only way that you're going to get obedience is by believing what God says. And the only way we're going to get disobedience is by not believing what God says. Anybody who says they believe what the Bible says, but do not live according to it, really doesn't believe what God's Word says. Amen. You cannot believe something and not live according to it. You cannot be firmly persuaded and convicted of something and your life is not in agreement with that conviction. And if your life is not in agreement with God's Word, if you don't have a firm conviction about it, then the opposite is this. You have a firm conviction that what God says is not true. There is no middle ground. In reality, there is no, I'm not sure about that. There is, I don't believe what God says, or I do believe what God says. Faith always, always leads to obedience. Always. Amen. And disobedience always, always stems from unbelief. Though the call or the summons be the same, whether it be believed or not, will manifest itself in the end result. Faith either takes hold of it or it doesn't. Look over, if you would, in 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And this is kind of a sidebar to look at this obedience. Boy, we really need to obey what the Lord says. I mean, we need to understand that these calls are of the utmost importance. I mean, life is hanging in the balance. And if you're here tonight and you're lost, your life is, to use that phrase, hanging in the balance. That's the utmost importance of this call to repent and believe the gospel. The Scriptures tell us in 1 Samuel chapter 15, and notice if you would verse 1, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken unto the voice of the Lord, or the voice of the words of the Lord. Again, notice, the Word of God, hearken unto it. God's Word is significant of the call. Hearkening is significant to believing it and obeying it. Verse 2. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Pretty clear. I mean, pretty clear. God didn't ask Saul, what do you want to do? He told him, this is what you're going to do. We'll skip down to verse 9. But Saul, and that's never a good way to start out. And whenever you and I disbelieve God, you can just put but and then your name in there. But Nathanael had something else he did. The Bible says, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen, of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse they destroyed utterly. But Samuel, the people did it. Yeah, but you're the king and God told you what to do. But Samuel, we're going to use these things to offer sacrifices unto the Lord. But what did God tell you to do? He knows wonderful words of Samuel in verse 22. And Samuel said, at the Lord is great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. You know, people get all worked up. You know, you listen to people and Christians, they get all worked up about, you know, Halloween and different things. They say, oh, it's witchcraft. We'll read verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Disobeying God is tantamount to witchcraft. I mean, that's what Scripture says. To not obey the summons of God is rebellion, which is as witchcraft in the eyes of the Lord. Now, we might not say that, but God does. God has more delight in us obeying His voice than in all the sacrifices there are. People want to say, God, look what I've done for you. He says, but you didn't do what I told you to do. Faith obeys God. Oh, we need faith.
Amen.
We need a certain kind of faith. The faith that God wrought in His people by hearing the Word of God. Abraham obeyed God. The Bible tells us that he obeyed. I believe he obeyed explicitly the Word of God. We said last Wednesday that if Noah would have built the ark and deviated from the blueprints of which God gave him in any way, that ark would have sunk. You know, we like sometimes to haphazard the call of God. Well, this is close enough. Boy, aren't you glad Jesus Christ didn't obey God that way and say, well, this is close enough. Aren't you glad He didn't say, well, you know, it's not my appointed hour, but it's close enough. Aren't you glad that as we heard Sunday, Brother Max, as he preached, aren't you glad after he was resurrected, he didn't say, well, this is good enough. Oh, he took the blood up, didn't he? He did it all. We, like Saul, sometimes get disillusioned and we say with Saul, as it states here in verse 13, and Samuel came to Saul and Saul said to him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And he did no such thing. Oh, sometimes we're so busy patting ourselves on the back about keeping God's commandment, we forget we didn't really keep it. No, Abraham obeyed God. We have to be concerned about what God's Word says. Not approaching it haphazardly. I mean, what if somebody built your car and said, well, we don't really need that bolt. You know, we don't really need a steering wheel. Three tires, that's more than half. You know, on that house they live in, three walls is good enough and a half a roof, that'll work. That's the way a lot of folks approach doing what God's Word says. And then I'd like you to notice, if you turn back to the text in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, the manner in which he obeyed. And again, it was by faith. That's the manner of it. But I want you to observe this. In Hebrews 11 verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. The manner he went out was, he didn't know where he was going. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 12 that God said, you go to a place that I will show thee. Well, that's faith, isn't it? I mean, we're getting ready to go to Alabama in June. And I must have looked at a map 10 times already. I mean, we were getting ready to go down to Bradenton last Friday, and I must have looked at a map a couple of different times. God told Abram, He said, I want you to get out of everything you know, and I want you to go to a place. I'm not going to tell you where it is, but when you get there, I'll let you know. That's faith, isn't it? Matthew Henry said, he put himself into the hand of God to send him whithersoever he pleased. He subscribed to God's wisdom as fittest to direct him, and submitted to his will as fittest to determine everything that concerned him. That's faith, isn't it? We're just going to trust God. And that's true in evangelism. I believe that God said that he has a people that he has chosen. I believe that he has his church that he has sent out to preach the gospel to every creature. And I believe that at the preaching of the gospel, that his people will respond in his time, and he will draw them unto him and save them. That he will in no wise cast them out. And that those that are saved by God's grace, he will add them unto the church through the watery grave of baptism, and then we will teach them to observe all things whatsoever he has commanded us. We believe God. And if we believe God, this is what we ought to do. I don't believe anybody believes anything except they do as they say they believe. That's why I really don't believe a lot of folks believe the doctrines of grace, because they don't practice according to the Scriptures what the Scriptures say about the doctrines of grace. And I don't believe people really believe about evangelism because they don't practice it. And I don't believe people believe that Jesus is really coming again because our lives don't match up with what they ought to. And you notice how I changed our lives. You know, when we read this here, we see Christ. Was not Christ called to go out into a place? Certainly he was. I mean, we heard there in Isaiah how that Isaiah, when the Lord said, "Who shall we send and who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." I mean, that's the Lord, isn't it? That's Jesus Christ saying, "Lord, I will go. Father, I will go. Send me." And here we see how the Bible says when he was called to go out. Does not the Bible say unto you and I that Christ came in the fullness of time? Galatians 4, I believe verse 4. It was at God's appointed time that Christ was sent out, sent to this world. And the Bible says, which he should after receive an inheritance. I thought about that. I said, poor Christ, that I'm his inheritance. I'm part of it. But you know what also part of it? He's going to receive all of this, isn't he? Because he's redeeming all of it and giving it unto the Father. But the Bible says to receive an inheritance, and the Bible says he obeyed. And we look at this phrase, and it says that he went out not knowing whither he went. Now Christ knew where he went. But I want you to understand this. He had never experienced what he was going to experience before. Never before had God been incarnate in the flesh. Never before in the likeness of sinful flesh. Never before had God dwelt as he was going to dwell. He went out. And we find that Christ obeyed at the word of God. The Bible says he received, he said, "I received this commandment of my Father." And boy, you and I have received a call, a command, a summons of the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. And if you're here tonight and lost, at the preaching of the gospel, God has summoned you that you would come unto Jesus Christ and believe on him. And if you are saved by God's grace, then the Lord has called you to serve Him, that you would lay aside all the things that you think and all the things that pertain to you, and that you and I would serve Him in accordance with His Word. You see, there's nothing to question about the call. It's the faith and the obedience. The call is clear. The summons is clear. And you know, everything that you and I stand in need of in order to obey the call, God has provided it. It's a part of it. And the only way for us to obey that call is by faith. God calls somebody to do something, you look, you say, well, I just don't see how it's going to work. Well, that's because it's by faith and not by sight. Our five intellectual senses are all but worthless when it comes to obeying the call of God. In fact, they oftentimes, more than not, get in the way, don't they? They get in the way. So again, if you're here without Jesus Christ, the call goes forth yet again to repent and believe the gospel. And if you are saved, would you follow the Lord? Would you obey Him? Would you walk in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ and obey the gospel? While we stand, as the song leader comes...